Great, thank you. We have about 35 minutes, 36 for discussion. So I think that what we'll do is I will take up to 3 questions, then I will have the panelists answer them, and then we'll go along.
Can you also react to the discussants?
Sure, everybody, if you want to respond to the discussants first, you want to
do
that?
No, maybe, okay. So we don't want to
do it in the context.
No, exactly, right. Let's talk about it.
All right, terrific. Questions? Alberto.
This is, in a sense, taking off from Sarah's paper, that's also about Harrison's. I was curious, I mean, given the, in a couple of decades, I suppose, that passed between John Rose's book and the kind of intellectual context in which it was taking place and the present, in what way we can think about the sort of ideological and methodological changes social theory and to what extent those critiques might still be relevant. Because one thing that I thought was particularly interesting was in the argument that you made was the attention to the critique, well, not even the critique, just kind of repudiation of totality as a category of social thought. And that's obviously very present, obviously very present for social theory and sociology now, but I think in a rather different key. And in a way, the sort of methodological but perhaps implicitly political asceticism of the kind of neo-Kantian position has fallen by the wayside for a very different way of arguing against totality. So for instance, if you take things that are all the rage in certain sociology departments, things like actor network theory. I'd be hard pressed to see that. I mean, it might be interesting to see that as a kind of distant, distant effect. But what's quite key about that is a much laxer relationship towards anything like method, a sort of emphasis not in categories of individuality, but in categories of multiplicity, which we could argue are kind of corrupt versions of character, categories of individuality. So that's in a sense what I was kind of curious about. All of these, whether it's Latour in a sense, people like the Gibson Graham book, etc., this kind of idea that capitalism doesn't exist, all we have are multiplicities, totality is a useless category, but not for the same reasons, it seems to me. So I was curious, to what extent do you think Gillian Rose's work provides a useful counter to contemporary ways of denying social totality?
Questions?
Okay, so I just want to say I really enjoyed both your papers. My question is addressed to Harrison about your use of the absolute towards the end. So you say that it's a way for us to help think about bourgeois consciousness and property rights and so forth. So from my understanding of the absolute, and I mean, but absolute, it's not God's eyes perspective about the truth of history, right? So you're looking down and seeing and identifying facts, so to speak, about the world. But it happens from specific concrete mediation of people, right? So then my question is, where does your criteria for distinguishing between animal spirituality that you talk about and authentic spirituality? Because I think if you pursue that kind of language, you're Hegelian critique tends to look a lot more like a strictly historical materialism, right? That the truth and that we don't have it, and then there's a language, false consciousness, I think.
One more question before they answer. Please.
I think that the distinction between dialectic and the revolutionary dialectic and the conservative system has a very old history. This is very clear in the post-Hegelian tradition, and in my opinion, the post-Hegelians misunderstood Hegel, because we cannot find this kind of distinction in Hegel, and we cannot find, this is very important, the distinction between real and rational. And in my opinion, the young Marx didn't understand Hegel because, for example, it is absolutely false that the Stände in the Hegel's philosophy of rights means a return in the Middle Ages or something else. In my opinion, we have to understand this connection between real and rational in two ways. The real is rational, as Hegel writes, because the rational is real, because the idea is real. And the idea is the real, concrete, existing freedom in the sense of the philosophy of right. Now, I think this is my problem and my question. If we try to return to the neo-Kantianism or the post-Kantianism, and we try to divide real and rational, or idea and ideal, we return in a pre-Hegelian, but in the sense of a metaphysical conception of the distinction or dualism between theory and praxis. And I think we don't need such a kind of dualism, because Hegel is perhaps useful today to overcome this form of the dualism between theory and praxis. Okay.
Great, thank you so much. Sarah Harrison.
Oh, I thought there was, okay.
No, I'm thinking 3-1, and then we'll do 3 more, and so on and so forth. So.
Okay. Ooh, there is so much. Okay, maybe I will try to comment on the question by Alberto together with what Jean said at the beginning, because, especially your question, I find it stimulating, very interesting, and I would like to think more what means now for social theory to not think necessarily in terms of individualities in the neo-Kantian sense, but even to understand networks and multiplicities, etc. But, I mean, said that, I think that the argument by Rawls in general about social theory still holds, in the sense that in the end, the final result, what she's trying to say is the absolute, if you want, separation of disciplines, which meant in the neo-Kantian lexicon that what it means by objectification is precisely the construction of different object domains for which you can develop different